Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the NZ Maize Investor Briefing on the New Zealand Commerce Commission's decision announced this morning. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, the 3rd of May, 2017. I'd now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, NZ Maize CEO Michael Boggs. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hello there, everyone. Michael Boggs here, the NZ Maize CEO, and I'm joined here with our CFO, Mike Moran, as well. We thought we'd just give you a little bit of an update. Obviously, you will have seen the New Zealand Commerce Commission's announced its decision to decline the proposed merger this morning. We're obviously pretty disappointed by the decision. We've received the 357-page, result, and we'll obviously now take some time to carefully review that. I think the things that initially jumped out at me is that it doesn't appear to be of a change since the draft determination in November. So importantly, the Commission said financially they can certainly see the benefits of the transaction, and in fact have reiterated that they can see benefits of between $40 million and $200 million over the five-year period, but unfortunately have continued to be hung up on the argument around plurality, where they've argued that the quality of news and the diversity of voices would be impacted going forward. I guess you'll recall that that was their key argument back in November. We don't believe in that argument, and so I think the positive out of the decision is that we'll now have some information to review why they think that can be relied on and what their legal rationale for that is. We've obviously not taken the time yet to digest the 357 pages and be able to comment on that any further at this stage. And so that's obviously what we'll do before we think of any next steps and what there might be. But again, positive that the Commission's seen there is a real prize there for shareholders. Maybe just to reiterate what we have been doing, the business has been focused on seven priorities over the last 18 months, and number seven was to progress the Fairfax merger. So it would be very easy for me to sit here today and go, well, the great news is we can carry on with the other six, and we absolutely will do that. And just to reiterate those are the things that we see will drive shareholder value. So that's around growing our audience reach, retaining our print revenue, returning radio revenue to growth, growing our new revenue streams, obviously continuing with effective cost and capital management, and developing our people and talent. Those are about the six of the seven that we have absolutely been focused on and reported on at our results announcements for the year, which we reported on back in February. The number seven of continuing to progress the Fairfax merger, that still continues to be a focus for us. It's as much as a focus as in that we've actually got to obviously now digest those that report and work out what our next steps are. So I'm certainly not sitting here going, this is what they are. That'll take us some time. And as you'll know, we have 20 business days to do to make some decisions around whether we think it's something we'd like to appeal or not. Just on the things that we talked about at a results announcement, so we're continuing to progress a number of the initiatives. So importantly, the Washington Post content management system is live. The launching of our Salesforce Singular CRM is live and up and running. Our new New Zealand Herald website is in beta and being trialled by some thousands of people at the moment. And we've launched two new Hits breakfast shows. So those were key things we talked about in February of what we wanted to do, and so I'm pleased to say we're continuing to progress those, and we see those will bring us revenue benefits as well as cost efficiencies and help us deliver on those six key initiatives for us. So I guess, just to reiterate, the decision is disappointing, but right now, in summary, it's business as usual for us. The business has been focused on those priorities, and even standing in front of our newsrooms this morning, I think even the team around is disappointed that the Commerce Commission is really saying our newsroom doesn't write stories of variety and diversity. But at the same time, they're really pleased to realise that, you know, for the last year while this process has been going on, we've been continuing to move forward and do what's right for our audience, for our teams here, and obviously importantly for our shareholders. So right now, we'll continue on the BAU focus, but we are absolutely obviously going to digest this information and work out what we believe the next steps are, and we'll come back to you as soon as possible on that. I guess that's all I wanted to say as a preamble, so really happy if there's any questions that you have that we might be able to shed some more light on, having not read the detail yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. The first question comes from Matt Henry from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Hi, Michael. As you suggested, the Commerce Commission reasoning is largely unchanged. Are you able to give us any colour on what sort of legal advice you've had on scope for appeal?
Oh, so there's certainly been no legal advice given to us you know, on the back of the decision, just because it hasn't been digested as yet. But I guess I can just go back to reiterate, it does seem largely unchanged, and our legal advice was confident around the notion of plurality and whether it can be taken into account or not. And that's been our arguments, obviously, with the Commission since the draft in November. And again, just reiterating, in that 357 pages today, the Commission have given their legal rationale as to why they think they can take that into account. So I think that gives us some good insight as to if there's some other steps we should now take.
Okay. And I guess I can imagine you probably don't wish to answer this question, but would it be fair to say that, you know, it's sort of more probable than not, even if there is scope for appeal, that the merger proposal will be terminated, given that the appeal timeframes are very lengthy. The industry is rapidly evolving, and Fairfax have kind of made strong statements around their sort of intentions to exit New Zealand.
Oh, look, I think you're exactly right. Firstly, it's too early to sort of make any indications as to what's going to happen. Having said that, if an option was to appeal, it would be both parties doing it, and we would make sure that we were comfortable with what we're doing from a commercial perspective in doing that. So I think that's our first, you know, our first checkpoint is what are the next steps, having digested the information.
Okay. I guess thirdly, there has been some speculation about other parties interested in some of your assets. Is that are you able to give us any colour on whether there is, from your perspective, is actually genuine interest out there?
Well, I think, to colour, I guess, I mean, publicly, an Australian radio broadcaster, I guess, expressed some interest in our assets. And so, by way of backdrop, I guess, as an organisation, we came together, three businesses into one, you know, 18 months or so ago, and we think we're getting value out of that. So we see no sense in actually, you know, trying to pull apart assets if someone's interested in a particular asset. You know, we bought the business together as a benefit to, we think we can drive larger audiences, larger returns for our shareholders, and a better business overall by doing that. In addition to that, I guess, while we're going through this process with Fairfax, we're not out soliciting, and in fact can't be out soliciting or engaging with other parties. And that's absolutely not the objective, and I think we've just got to come to a conclusion on the next steps with regard to this transaction before we look at anything else.
Okay, and just lastly, I expect I know the answer, but you sort of mentioned, I guess, the focus on business as usual. Are you able to give us any colour on how the business has tracked through the first 4 months of the year?
No, as you'll know, we don't give guidance, and it's only a couple of months ago that we're out updating on our results, and it's not far away before we'll be able to do that again.
No, I suspect that's the case. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Roger Coleman from CCZ Equities. Please ask your question.
Michael, I hope you've had a Bex and a good lie down after that, but could I just ask, in the length of engagement you've had with Fairfax, and obviously there must have been teams, could you give us some idea of the time and depth you've done for cost benefits? And in the normal set of circumstances, if the merger is not allowed, where do you see the group still being able to pursue some of those costs and revenue benefits with Fairfax without competitive problems with the NZCC?
So I think, again, if I could just use the Commerce Commission's numbers, because, you know, I'll say that they're independent, I guess, that they've outlined net cost benefits effectively of between $40 million and $200 million a year. And I think Mike and I, And I think Mike and I have been pretty consistent in saying, do we think we could get 5% out of the merged entity? Absolutely. And do we think we could get 10%? Well, that would be a focus. So, you know, that puts you...
But Mike, what can you get without a merger, having done all this work with Fairfax?
What do you think is going to be allowable? Yeah, so where I was going with that is to say, you know, they're obviously substantial in bringing them together. There absolutely will continue to be opportunities to do it without a merger. One that even some of our competitors or even the industry are talking about is, as an example, returning to some previous times of having shared journalists for a number of stories, for example, back to the NZPA. And so I think there is opportunities at, you know, right across the business where we'll continue to look from a commercial perspective, are there things that can be done while at the same time we continue to look to see what our decision is on the actual merger side as well.
Right, Michael, the other issue, the merger of stuff and New Zealand Herald would have made it easier to introduce a paywall. If you can't merge, will you still go ahead with significant paywalls, or do you have to downgrade your opportunities?
Well, I mean, just for clarity on the paywall, I think I've regularly said I don't see that there's going to be a paywall across the whole of the sites or across the whole of a merged site if that was to be the case. But we absolutely believe there's opportunity for paywall and digital subscriptions on key content, unique content, specific verticals, and the new technology that we have with Washington Post that we've implemented gives us a great path to being able to do that.
Right. Is there completely something the New Zealand Commerce Commission has ignored other than this 357 pages, which I haven't seen, was the possibilities of you and Fairfax attacking, you know, cars, jobs and real estate. Whatever happens, is that going to keep going or not, a potential joint business?
Oh, absolutely. So from our perspective, growing new revenue streams is a key one of our seven objectives, and classifieds a key component of that. And when we're ready to say more, we'll definitely be telling you.
Yeah, but with Fairfax or without Fairfax, without a merger, right? You know what I'm getting at? Without a merger, will Fairfax and you still do joint ventures on vertical portals?
There's opportunities both ways, and we'll do whatever's best for shareholders.
Okay, beautiful. Thanks a lot, Michael. All the best out there.
Thank you.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. The next question comes from Guy Hallwright from Woodward Partners. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi, Michael and Mike. Can you just outline for me, if you were to go to appeal, and I understand that you haven't made the decision yet, you're essentially, as I understand it, your objection is likely to be that the cost-benefit analysis that the Commission's done is flawed, or that they need to be able to quantify the public detriment in some kind of way that makes it comparable with the cost savings that you're talking about on the other side. And I'm just wondering what it is in the Commerce Act or your legal advice that leads you to think that that's a fruitful path to pursue.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, just to start off with what you said there, Guy, we haven't gone through the detail, and so, you know, I'm not sure what extra information they've given us over and above what they said in November, but we had very clear advice from November that we don't believe statute or case law supports them being able to take into non-quantifiable benefits, specifically plurality. They will have given us some more information as today as to why they think they can, and our next steps will obviously be to assess that and think whether we agree with them or disagree with them.
But I mean, the case law is one thing, but looking through the Commerce Act, there is nothing in there that mentions needing to quantify either benefits or detriments.
I think what I'd much rather do is understand exactly the position they've put forward today and then be able to share an update with shareholders at an appropriate time.
Okay, all right. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. There are no further questions. I'll now hand back to Mr. Michael Boggs if you have any closing comments.
Oh, well, thanks everyone for taking the time to join the call. And just to reiterate, obviously we are disappointed with the decision. We're going to obviously digest that and work through our next steps on that. But just really reiterating, nothing's changed from a strategy for the business, and we're continuing to execute like we all told you as we did our February update and times we've checked in with you since. So we know what our job is, and we're getting on with that every day. Thanks for your time, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.